I'm going to talk about witches, and I'm going to start with my grandmother, who was not a witch, but she was born in Salem, Massachusetts. And, okay, so my grandmother, this is my non-Irish grandmother, she was kind of odd. I mean, I loved her. She was great. She would paint, she painted a lot of things, and she would paint on mushrooms, on burlap sacks that my grandfather would stretch over a frame. And that had more to do with being poor than being odd, I guess. She also played music, and she played the accordion. I guess that's odd. this is definitely odd. She once performed with her band, a band called the Crystal Bells, all grannies, five of them. She once performed a song called Bird in a Gilded Cage while wearing a birdcage on her head. Anyway, she was a stitch. I remember once she went to I didn't go with her, but my brother and his football friends took her to a big-time wrestling meet at Boston Garden where the Celtics and the Bruins play. And, you know, big-time wrestling. It's just phony wrestling, right? So they went to that, and she came back hoarse because she'd spent so much time yelling and cheering. Anyway, she had her quirks. And I suspect that if she had been born 200 years earlier, there'd have been a good chance she would have been labeled a witch. We all know how that ends. You know, my grandma also owned a music studio, and that's where I had my first accordion lesson, so sorry about that. Occasionally, after lessons, my dad would take me somewhere interesting. And one of the interesting points in Salem that we would go to was the Salem Witch House. It's now a museum, and it's where a judge named John Corwin lived. And it's called the Witch House because Corwin was the judge who they would bring the witches, those accused of witchery. They would bring them to his home for what was called a, quote, pretrial examination. Now, in the end, an absolutely shocking 200 people were accused of being witches. And it didn't end well for 25 of them. Again, mostly women, mostly who ended up dangling from a rope on a gallows. You know, nobody looks back at the Salem witch trial and says, hey, that was a great moment in American history. Yeah. So we'll see if Donald Trump purges any mention of that unsavory moment of our history from the Smithsonian and other places, other cultural venues he wants to control. But that brings us up to the year 2025. And I found something that I think was kind of brilliant circulating online. Author unknown. I tried to track down the author. No idea. But I'll read it to you. I'll read it to you verbatim. My daughter came home from school and said, Mom, you're not going to believe what happened in history class today. So her teacher told the class they were going to play a game. And he walked around the room and he whispered to each kid whether they were a witch or just a regular person. Then he gave the instructions. Form the biggest group you can without a witch. And if your group has even one, you all fail. She said the whole room instantly lit up with suspicion. Everyone started interrogating each other. Are you a witch? How do we know you're not a witch? How do we know you're not lying? Some kids clung to one big group, but most broke off into smaller, exclusive cliques. They turned away anyone who seemed uncertain, nervous, or gave off even the slightest hint of being guilty. The energy shifted fast. Suddenly, everyone was suspicious of everyone. Whispers, finger-pointing, side-eyes. Trust dissolved in minutes. And finally, when all the groups were formed, the teacher said, all right, time to find out who fails. Witches, raise your hands. And not one hand went up. And the whole class exploded. Wait, you messed up the game. And then the teacher dropped the bomb. Did I? Were there any actual witches in Salem? Or did everyone just believe what they were told? My daughter said the room went dead silent. And that's when it hit them. No witch was ever needed for the damage to happen. Fear had already done its work. Suspicion alone divided the entire class, turning community into chaos. And isn't that exactly what we're seeing today? Different words, same playbook. Instead of witch, it's liberal conservative, vaxxed unvaxxed, pro this, anti that. The labels shift, but the tactic is the same. Get people scared, get them suspicious, get them divided, then sit back while trust crumbles. The danger was never the witch. The danger is the rumor, the suspicion, the fear, the planted lies. Refuse the whisper. Don't play the game. Because the second we start hunting, quote, witches, we've already lost. And that's the end of that read. And I tell you, I was very impressed. And I think the author really hit on something that we have to be cognizant of. The labels that the media or political hacks want to stick us with are nothing but divisive and in the end very destructive. And we start being suspicious of the person who voted for Donald Trump because, well, they must be a racist or a sexist or just dumb. Or, you know, on the other side, suspicious of the person who criticizes the Trump administration's policy in some way or another. Yeah, there must be just some kind of radical left-wing nutcase. You know, I mean, none of these labels or stereotypes are helpful or accurate, and we need to push back against them. Bottom line is we've got to stop demonizing each other, just like there were really no witches back in Salem. 25 people died. 19 of them hung. One of them tortured. 5 of them in prison because the conditions were so horrible. We can do better than we're doing now, folks. And that story is a great way to think about how much we can do better. And here's a reminder of of how things should not go.
What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt?
I got better.
Burn her anyway!
Quiet!
There are ways of telling whether she is a witch.
Are there?
What are they? Tell us!
Tell me, what do you do with witches?
Burn her anyway!